Cricket in midlife. Most people think it's just about reliving glory days, but what we're discovering is that it's actually reshaping how entire communities connect and cope with modern isolation.
That's fascinating, and it really explains why we're seeing this surge in recreational cricket leagues for people over 40, especially in urban areas.
You know what's really striking about this? Take the story of Arjun. Here's a guy who was absolutely brilliant in training, sharp in matches, but life's commitments slowly pulled him away. It's not just one person's story. It represents this larger pattern we're seeing across recreational sports.
And that pattern seems to be especially pronounced in cricket, doesn't it? The way these midlife players have to juggle work, family, and their passion for the game.
Exactly right. And here's what's really interesting. Studies show that adults who maintain team sport participation into their 40s and 50s report 60% lower rates of social isolation. But the challenge is creating the right environment for that to happen.
Well, that brings up Deepak's story, transforming from a fast bowler to a batsman after his knee injury. Instead of leaving the game entirely, he found a new way to stay connected.
And that adaptability is crucial because research shows that about 70% of recreational cricketers face some kind of injury or physical limitation by their mid-40s. But here's the thing. It's not just about the physical aspects anymore.
So what's driving people to keep coming back despite these challenges?
Well, we're seeing this fascinating split. About 40% of players say they're there for the competitive element, while 60% cite social connections as their primary motivation. That's why this tension between competition and community is so important to address.
That really shows up in the contrast between cricket culture here versus places like England or Australia, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And the numbers tell the story. In England, the average club cricket match draws around 50 to 60 spectators, creating this vibrant community atmosphere. Here, we're looking at maybe 5 to 10 people on the boundary rope, mostly just other players waiting their turn.
That social disconnect must have some serious implications for the sustainability of these leagues.
You're right. And here's the data that really drives it home. Clubs that incorporate regular social events and family activities show 80% better player retention rates compared to purely competition-focused groups. That's why I'm thinking we need this two-track system.
Tell me more about how that would actually work in practice.
So, picture this. You've got your traditional competitive league running on weekends, but then you add these midweek social sessions, 5 to 8 p.m., guaranteed playing time, music, chai breaks. Early trials of similar formats in community sports have shown a 45% increase in regular participation.
That's quite remarkable, especially considering how hard it usually is to maintain consistent attendance in recreational sports.
And here's what's really interesting about the timing. Research shows that these midweek, early evening sessions actually work better for most people. They report 30% less schedule conflicts compared to weekend matches.
Though I imagine the competitive players might resist this kind of change.
Well, that's where the data gets interesting. In clubs that have implemented similar dual-track systems, they've actually seen a 25% increase in participation in competitive matches, too. It's like having the social track actually feeds into and strengthens the competitive side.
That's completely counterintuitive. You'd think splitting the focus would weaken both aspects.
Right? But it makes sense when you look at the psychology behind it. Players who feel more connected socially are 40% more likely to stick with the sport long term, even if they're not playing in every competitive match.
You know, that reminds me of what you were saying earlier about Imran coming back after years away.
Exactly. And studies of returning players show that 75% cite the social aspect as their primary motivation for coming back. But here's the really fascinating part. Within 6 months, about half of them become regular competitive players again.
So, in a way, the social connection acts like a bridge back to the competitive side of the game?
Precisely. And this is where cricket has this unique advantage. Unlike many other sports, it naturally accommodates different skill levels and physical capabilities. The data shows that mixed ability teams actually perform better in the long run, with 35% better player retention rates.
That's quite a powerful argument for making the game more inclusive.
And it all comes back to this, you know, fundamental truth. At this stage of life, cricket isn't just about the game anymore. It's about creating these spaces where people can stay connected, active, and engaged with their community. The statistics on mental health benefits alone are staggering. Regular participants show 40% lower rates of depression compared to their non-sporting peers.
Well, when you put it that way, it really is about much more than just cricket, isn't it?
That's exactly right. We're not just preserving a game. We're building something that could help address some of the biggest challenges facing middle-aged adults today. Isolation, physical health, and community connection. And that's worth every bit of effort it takes to get it right.